Reformed Church.
You know, when you think of natural things, right, and spiritual things, we were kind of talking about that a little bit on Sunday. Not necessarily, I'm not going in the same direction there, but a little similar to what we were talking about on Sunday, natural and heavenly things. There are needs that people have, right, that we all have right now, that are some needs that are natural, right, like you eat, for instance, right? That's a natural need. It's not a spiritual thing. It's just your body craves food, so you're hungry, so you eat, right? So there are natural things that we need, like food is one. Things that people crave for, go everywhere from, drugs to sex to God knows how many other things, right, that people just crave. So, but there are things that people would say, they need a miracle to be made well, right? They need, it could be really any physical thing that someone needs that can be observed with the physical eye, right? Is something that it could just be a need. Now, what happens sometimes when we have needs, and I'll show you an example, obviously, like food, at times we end up becoming people that are seeking after the food, right? In other words, we're seeking after the thing. We're not, we've set our mind that we need this thing, so we seek after those things, right? And obviously, we know in books like in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord talks about not seeking the things that the Gentiles seek after. In other words, the Lord's not saying that you don't need it right now, right? There'll come a day where we'll have no needs like that. But right now, when you need something, he knows what you need before you even ask him. It's the seeking of those things that throws us off, right? Because when we're needing something and then we chase after it, it's a little bit, we were kind of having this discussion the other day about how Pastor Michael had been pointing out, right, the way the temple is laying down flat, right? In other words, she's not looking at what she's giving birth to, right? She's not looking at the fruit. She's just has her mind on the Lord. She has her mind on the Word of God, right? And that is the way the Lord wants us to live our lives. He doesn't want us to have, our eyes between our legs. He wants us to have our eyes on him, right? Not our eyes seeking after the fruit, but our eyes seeking after the Lord, right? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that you need. Then he's saying, I'll add those to you without you seeking them, right? I said, that's what people without a God live like, right? They don't have God in their life. They don't have the Lord in their life, so they have to seek. If they need something, they got to seek for it themselves, right? In 1 Kings chapter 17, I'll be as quick as I can. Right? 1 Kings chapter 17. This is Elijah is this part. I don't know if it was this just specific to this part of the world, but there was a famine in the land, right? And the Lord tells him. In the first several chapters, the word of the Lord comes to him, and he said, go to the brook Cherith. He said, there you'll be able to drink, and I'll command ravens to be able to bring you, right, food, so that he'll be able to eat and he'll be able to drink. Obviously, though, that's a need that he had, and the Lord took care of that need, right? But there came to a time where that brook did dry up, and the Lord said, okay, now I'm sending you to a widow in Zarephath. He said, go to her, and he says in verse number 9 there, he said, that's 1 Kings 17, 9. He said, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, he says, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So let's read a little bit here. So he arose and went to Zarephath, verse number 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And if you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm reading from New King James. I'm sure you did, Andre. Verse number 12 then says, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. She says, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and for my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake. And that word cake there is actually a small cake of bread. It is referring to bread, right? I mean, obviously, what else are you going to make with flour and water, right? Bread. So make for me a small cake of bread from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord your God, the Lord your God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household, so all three of them, ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now, what I want to just bring to your attention there is just one main thing. There's a ton of things that we can talk about, but the bin of flour and the jar of oil, it says, did not run dry, right, until the Lord sent rain, right? He said, when the Lord sends rain, then it'll stop, right? And the cool thing to point out there is, and you'll see it in a bunch of different places, what we're looking at there as rain coming on the earth, right, is the Lord's coming from heaven to earth. In other words, in John 6, which if we have time, we'll read it briefly, right, it says that he is the bread that came down from heaven. He was comparing himself in John 6 to the manna that the people ate, right, which was bread from heaven, right? It was upon the dew of the ground, right, and the Lord said, that's the manna that you're going to eat, right? Well, actually, manna came later, the naming of it, but that was the bread that the Lord was talking about from heaven. And he said, that's not the bread from heaven. He said, I'm the bread that comes down, right, from heaven. So what you see here is really interesting. The bin of flour and the oil, which basically makes bread. So you can say the bread continued until when? Until the rain came down, right? So there is a natural bread that we would have to live and rely on, right? A natural bread, which is that, right? The bread that she was eating was natural bread. The food that Elijah was eating was natural food, right? But it was supplied by the Lord, right? Supernaturally by the Lord, it was supplied. We need, right, natural bread. But the thing to understand is that when the rain has come, when Christ was come, then the natural bread ceases, right? Our reliance on the things of this world, right? Our seeking after the things of this world can cease, right? And now our focus goes to the bread of life, not to the natural things of the world, but to the bread of life. So in John chapter 6, if we can go there real quick, John chapter 6, if we can go to John 6, verse number 24. So keep that in the back of your mind, right? The bread in 1 Kings 17 did not cease until the rain came, right? Then it stopped, right? In verse number 24 of John 6, it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, and they had just been, just keep in mind, this multitude had just been fed with bread, right? The Lord had multiplied the loaves and they had all eaten, right? And it says, the people then were looking for Jesus again, right? And didn't find him. Verse number 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs. In other words, not because you understood what the multiplication of the loaves meant, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He said to them, do not labor, do not work. Right? Do not labor, do not work for the food which perishes. In other words, don't work and labor for natural bread. Don't seek after natural bread. Don't work for that which is natural, right? Do not labor for the food which perishes, right? Which are natural things, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. And in other words, let your labor, right? Or the one thing that we do, which is seeking the Lord. For that which is everlasting, right? He's talking to them about everlasting life. In other words, seek after me, don't seek after the bread. Now, these people had a legitimate thing, right? They were hungry and he fed them, right? This is not like they were doing something, you know, you could look at it from the outside and say, well, you know, it wasn't some kind of sinful thing. They were just hungry, and he recognized that they were hungry. So, and he knew what they had need of before they even asked him. He said, I know why you're here. You're here because you're hungry, right? And people, especially in today's society, right? You know, if somebody's hungry, give them to eat. And there's nothing wrong with giving someone something to eat. The thing is, you have to know what their need actually is and what your need actually is. In other words, you giving them something is just giving them something that's just delaying their dying, right? if they're dead in their sins now, you're just prolonging it, but they will eventually die in their sins because it's the reliance on things. Listen, we live in a country today where things are very plentiful in this country, right? But there are countries where you either believe God to be healed or you're dead because there is no medical care. You can't just run to urgent care and get well, right? There is no urgent care to run to. There is no money to pay a doctor, right? Here we do that, right? We can do that. There are countries where the economies are maybe better than that, but they have to wait months to be able to go to a doctor. So the Lord is so good, right, that he wants our reliance to be on him, our seeking to be in him, our faith to be on the Lord and are seeking to be after him. So that way, right, whether the thing that you need is present, available or not, that you could just seek after it and go get it, right? Or whether it's not even available where you are, where you live, you know, the economy can change, the government can change, the society can change, right? So things can change, but the Lord and his provision and his power to wealth and his life on the inside of you, that never changes. So he puts your eyes on that which is everlasting, which is eternal, which is him, so that regardless of what's going on around you, that's not where your dependency lies, and that's not where your seeking lies, right? Your seeking is after him. Regardless of the fact that we need something, we persist in one thing, which is our seeking after the Lord. Here, he says in verse number 27, he said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore, he said to him, "What sign?" They said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may believe it, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" That sounds like even some Christians today, right? And people in general, but Christians specifically, you hear them where, you know what, I don't really believe in that healing stuff, but because they don't see it. In order for me to believe in that, I got to be healed first, then I'll believe it, right? So in other words, if they're not looking at it, if they're not seeing it, they're not going to believe it. That's the exact same thing that they said to him, right? If you want us to believe you, then do something. And if you can do something and show us, then we'll believe in you, right? And obviously, that's not the way faith works, right? Faith doesn't come from seeing. Faith is actually the substance of things hoped for, in other words, unseen things, right? Verse number 31 says, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." In other words, the true bread from heaven, if it is something that is of God, it is eternal, right? If it's of heaven, it's eternal. Now, by the power of God, he supplied them manna, but manna is a natural thing that perished, right? And that would rot and that would breed worms, right? But as far as the things that are truly, really heavenly, that are ours, the treasures that we have on the inside of it, the inheritance that we have that's heavenly, none of that rots, none of that fades, none of that escapes you, right? You always have it. And then verse number 33 said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven," right? So he is the rain. He's the one that comes down. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, right? I think Pastor Mike brought this up last service last Wednesday, actually, when he was teaching on the temple, I believe, right? He was talking about bread on our glossary online, right? It shows how bread is life, right? So obviously that's why he is the bread of life. True life comes from not your reliance on your workout regimen, even though there's nothing wrong with working out. It doesn't come from you eating right, even though there's nothing wrong with eating right. It's just that you can't rely on eating right, working out, and doing all these things in order for you to have life, right? You do them because of your lack of knowledge, right? We do these things because we're not perfect in what we know about the Lord. But as you grow more and more, right, obviously that brings perfection to your body as well. But anyway, In verse number 34, it says, they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger." See the heavenly bread? It doesn't rot. It doesn't fade. Just to give you a quick thing. When in Exodus chapter 16, the Lord talks about how he gave the people manna. They were in the wilderness. They needed food. And they asked the Lord, right? They wanted bread to eat. They wanted food to eat. So the Lord gave them manna. there were instructions for that manna, though. If you keep it, if you take too much and you want to hoard it for the next day, it will rot and breed worms overnight. He said, just take what you need each day. In other words, he didn't want their seeking to be after stuff. If I don't hoard, I'll never have, right? That wasn't the mindset that he was wanting to have. He wanted them to see the symbol of Christ in that manna, right? Not to be looking at it like that was their life. He wanted to see the symbol of that bread as Christ, who is the bread of life, right? But sure enough, they disobeyed. They kept it overnight. It rots. It bred worms. Interesting thing is on the Sabbath, the Lord said, right, that's a day of rest, right? That's the temple, right? That's the church laying down at rest, right, with their eyes on the Lord, right, and being provided for and being fruitful without seeking after the things of the natural things, but seeking after the Lord. That the Sabbath, right? He said, you can actually, he said, keep take double now, and keep that over, and guess what? It will not rot now. And sure enough, it says that when they kept it, it didn't rot and it didn't spoil. So when you see that symbolism there, right, it's the no working and no labor for the things that perish, right, and are just seeking after the Lord. In other words, our labor being in, Lord, I just want to know you. It's my eyes just on you, Lord. That's where all of these things are added unto us. But when our eyes then are going after, seeking after all these things, even though they're not bad things, right, being healed is not bad. Having food to eat is not bad. None of those things are bad. It's just the seeking after them, like we are people with no God. That's what makes it wrong, right? You're living like a Gentile lives. In other words, you're living like Jesus did nothing. Like his coming from heaven, being sent by the Father to die for your sins, to take sin and death so that you could have life, and then thinking that us living like we have no life, like we have no bread from heaven, right? That's what makes it wrong for us that way, right? Because you're living as though he's done nothing. So when he says in verse number 35, he says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. It's just a cool thing to be able to see, like, Lord, what I really need is that bread, right? The people were asking the right question. How do we get that bread? And what he said is, you believe in me. The work that God wants you to do is that you would believe. Not that you would try to be obedient to Ten Commandments, but that you would believe in me, right? And I would bring about that fruitfulness. So it's a cool thing, you know, just something to think about in our seeking. Do we seek just natural things? Or are we seeking him, right, whom we have already received, so that we can come to know him, come to understand more the righteousness that we possess that gives us access to the grace in which we stand, right? All that good. So, you know what, let's just pray and we'll stop right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all the provision, the inheritance, Lord, that you've put on the inside of us. We thank you, my God, for showing us and teaching us, Lord, that we are rich people. We are people, Lord, that can abound from the inside out, so that which we have on the inside, Lord, can affect every bit of our outside, Lord. Our bodies, Lord, our circumstances, our work life, Lord, our promotions, our prosperity, just our prosperity, Lord, in general, in every area, affecting, Lord, the prosperity of our soul. As our soul prospers, Lord, as our soul prospers in you, as our thoughts, Lord, are aligned, Lord, with your thoughts. Not your thoughts being higher, Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth, Lord. Not your thoughts being far away like that, Lord. But your thoughts being, Lord, right on the inside of us, the mind of Christ that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, my God, that this, our natural mind, is being more and more renewed, Lord, to think like you, to discern with your discernment, to think, Lord, to think your thoughts, Lord, to be able to see clearly the abundance that we have on the inside of us, Lord, and then just to see without us even seeking those things, because that is what it means, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The adding on happens automatically without us seeking after it. It's not even something that we have to ask for, Lord. It's just added unto us, Lord, without even seeking these things. Not that it's wrong, Lord, to ask for anything, Lord, but always with thanksgiving, Lord, always acknowledging what you have already done, already supplied, already put on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the rest of the service, Lord, for the things that you'll speak and continue to speak into our lives, Lord, to prosper our soul. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.